Eco Money on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Eco Money with me, Rachel Kelly. Now, there are many ways investors can address climate risk in fixed income portfolios, including financing issuers that deliver climate solutions, divesting from bonds that are linked to carbon-intensive activities such as coal-fired power generation, or shifting assets towards labeled bonds that fund transition plans, such as green bonds or even transition bonds. Now, while there has been an exponential increase in volumes of labeled green bonds in the last decade, and they have been considered a means to hedge against climate change risks, calibrating exposure to carbon-intensive debt and the associated risk is arguably even more important. That's according to the London Stock Exchange. It's developed a methodology to track carbon-intensive fixed income. That said, though, due to the complexity of fixed income markets, which are composed of millions of securities issued by tens of thousands of issuers and special purpose vehicles whose ownership structure can be opaque, investors often struggle to identify and track exposure to bonds that are associated with carbon-intensive activities. To help us navigate this market and to tell us more about the report just issued, which is titled Tracing Carbon-Intensive Debt, we're joined now by Nitesh Ramkumar, who's Senior Research Lead, Sustainable Investment Research at LSEG. Nitesh, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks, Rachel. Yeah, very excited to talk about this paper and this report with you.
So let's start off. In 2022 alone, $1.4 trillion of carbon-intensive debt was raised through over 35,000 individual debt securities. To set the scene, clarify for us, what exactly do we mean by carbon-intensive debt?
Yeah, I think that's a very good starting question. And maybe the simple definition to that is the debt which finances companies which are sort of involved in carbon-intensive activities. So obviously, the next question is, what is a carbon-intensive activity? And that was a big part of our paper, which is to define this intricately. And then once we got the definition, we sort of identified, analyzed, and tracked companies which sort of passed that definition. So we worked very closely around the definition of carbon-intensive activity set by the Transition Pathway Initiative, or TPI. TPI is a global initiative which started around 2017. It's asset owners-led. And the main goal is to sort of assess performance of companies in carbon-intensive sectors and to see how well they're transitioning towards a low-carbon economy. And London Stock Exchange Group is a partner of TPI. And so we use this definition and we sort of applied it on a huge universe of bonds, which we have as part of our company, around 8 million of them. And that sort of set us to that first set of what is a carbon-intensive bond in some ways. But then we very soon realized that that wasn't enough. And the relationship between a bond and a company wasn't actually quite straightforward in many cases. And this was mainly because of the complex corporate tree structures of many companies around the world. So we soon had to start building a methodology to understand not just the bonds attached to a company, but also sort of like analyze their complex corporate tree structure. And that way we could sort of showcase those hidden concealed relationships of how a bond can benefit a company. So apart from this being a fixed income project, it was actually quite a big data project in some ways.
That's right, because transition finance has become a real buzzword of late, hasn't it? And I think transition plans, as you describe in the report, is where it can become opaque for investors. You could have what are deemed traditionally carbon-intensive industries, but they may be going through a so-called transition to a more sustainable way of doing business. So how can investors tell? I mean, you've been very meticulous in your methodology to help uncover perhaps what might have been a traditionally carbon-intensive industry and maybe on the path to transition. So what should investors be looking out for?
I think, as you mentioned, I think this is a very critical phase in terms of carbon-intensive bonds and carbon-intensive financing in some ways. And especially with the general regulatory push and also the general backdrop of moving towards a sort of low carbon economy. Mm-hmm. And I think a critical point here is that half of this carbon intensive debt is sort of expiring in the next decade, in the current decade, that is. So it's very critical. So this entire discussion about refinancing carbon intensive debt is actually both significant and a current problem in some ways. I think, as you said, the transition plans are a very critical part of this, of what companies are saying, what countries are sort of like promising in terms of like the emission reductions, what targets they want to hit. And yeah, this is going to be a big influence on potential refinancing decisions and how this entire world of carbon intensive debt is sort of going to move forward. I think another part which I think investors are slowly getting, and this is something which we've covered in this paper, is the entire idea of green bonds and transition bonds in some ways, where companies who are sort of like have to transition to a low carbon economy needs to sort of attract investors to help them do that. And I think this is also going to be a critical phase. It's still a small part of the entire market, but again, it is something which could be quite critical in the future.
And when you say a small part, Nitish, maybe you can give us some examples. How small are we looking at when it comes to green and transition bonds in comparison to overall carbon intensive debt that remains, as you mentioned, a significant feature of global fixed income markets?
Yeah, it is around 8% of the entire carbon intensive debt is what we call as green bonds. Again, there is a bit of important distinction which we need to do is what is a green bond? And this, again, something which we've covered in the paper. There is this concept of labeled green bonds, which are explicitly called as green bonds. But we've also gone and looked into other activities, other bonds for financing activities, which are not necessarily labeled as green bonds, but are more towards green activities. So for example, EV vehicles in some ways, and not necessarily all EV vehicle bonds are marked as green bonds. So this is the another sort of component of work which we had to do. It is increasing. It has really increased a lot over the last like decade or so. But I think one thing to keep in mind is majority, around 85% of the green bonds which we have are still in the sort of the utilities and the auto sector. So like the oil and gas companies, for example, still are not having like green bonds as part of their portfolio in some ways.
Okay. And let's talk about where these bonds are located, because your report also found that carbon intensive debt remains a significant feature of global fixed income markets. And in emerging markets, it's on the rise. Can you talk to us about what that means and whether or not this is significant?
Yeah, very significant, maybe to start off that answer. And as you mentioned, like emerging markets, it was around just 4% of the entire carbon intensive debt universe in 2000. And now it's 40%. Yeah. And another way of looking at the emerging market angle is the denomination currency. The Chinese yuan was less than 1% of the carbon intensive debt in 2000. And now in 2022, it's around 34%. So you can see how it has become very significant in the emerging market space. In terms of the total like volume or outstanding of carbon intensive debt, US and China is still like around 2.5 trillion, which is sort of less than 50% of the entire carbon intensive debt. But I think a very important point here is that the debt market on the whole for US and China has also grown a lot. So the percentage of carbon intensive debt in US and China is actually less than the global average. This is where like countries like Saudi Arabia, Russia, Indonesia, they actually have a higher percentage of carbon intensive debt compared to their entire debt market in some ways.
You've had a deep dive into some of the shifts that we've seen and how dynamics have been moving when it comes to carbon intensive debt, green bonds, transition finance. What's one of the biggest notable changes that you've seen that you think investors need to be aware of?
It's a very important discussion. And I think it goes back to that refinancing discussion in some ways. Like, what do companies do to refinance these carbon intensive debt? And I think that is the main critical discussion point in terms of like how this trend is going to go ahead. And this is going to highly be influenced by the regulatory changes in countries, in other sort of institutions in some ways. And also, I think we talked about transition plans before. I think it's very important to see how effective these transition plans are in some ways, because a lot of people obviously are committing to certain goals, but it's about how well they keep up to it and how well they're able to achieve those goals. And all those are going to really decide on and set the trend for how this is going to move forward.
Thank you, Nitesh. We've been speaking with Nitesh Ramkumar, who's the Senior Research Lead of Sustainable Investment Research at LSEG. You've been listening to Eco Money on Money FM 89.3. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you'd like to find out more or listen to past episodes, you can visit the Money FM 89.3 website or join us on Spotify. Just search for me, Rachel Kelly, and Eco Money.